I have a confession to make. I texted this to Jeff. Monday, I arrived at the office, and Deanna was out of the office, Jeff was out of the office, and Vern, our caretaker, was out of the office, and I thought to myself, this is what it's going to like to pastor a church after the rapture. But then Josh Layton and Jerry Cooper and Deb showed up, and I went, whew. If they're still here, I'm okay. Faith, hope, and love. Say these three words with me. Faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and love. This is our core values. You can't take them apart. You can't have faith without hope and love. You can't have hope without faith and love, and you can't have love without faith and hope. I got it right this time. Last time I was all over the map. They're a strand of three cords that cannot easily be broken. And it's not only our relationship with God, it's our relationship with each other. That we want to build a family that is focusing on faith, hope, and love. Our faith in the Word of God, our faith in His Spirit, our trust, our confidence in who He is, and how He commands us to live. It's not suggestions, it's not ideas, they're commands how to live. So a life verse that changed my life, and it's still changing my life because I'm not there yet, but I'm in process, was the command of Jesus, as I've loved you, love each other. By this, all men will know you're my disciples. I believe the greatest evangelistic tool the church has is through faith, hope, and love. That as we live out faith, hope, and love, it'll be an expression to our world, the reality that Jesus came to this earth, and that's what he said in John 17, and that we believe that the world will believe he came, and that he loved us even as the Father loved him. So, we have to learn how to love each other. And that takes faith. And that takes hope. Because what if we don't agree? What if I say, I'm a libertarian? I'm not. Would all of a sudden be like all the red Republicans go, ah! And all the blue Democrats go, ah! We have got to put in place in a greater measure. We're becoming something. We're not there. We're becoming something. It's alive. It's not static. Faith, hope, and love. And today we're talking about, we're focusing on this faith. We're talking about how you and I can be people of faith. And last week, just to review a little bit, I really wanted to make sure that all of us understand without a shadow of a doubt that we are not saved by works. It's not by what we do that saves us. It's by whom we believe in. So in John chapter 6, Jesus was asked this question, what works, plural, does God require of us? And Jesus said, this is the work, singular, that God requires, to believe in the one he sent. That the evidence of our salvation comes from not what we do, but by what we believe and who we believe in. It's Jesus. It is by grace you have been saved through faith. This not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not by works, lest anyone should boast. But the condition of human beings is this. We want to be part of the salvation. We want to prove to God that we're worth it. I prayed, God. I gave, God. I went to church, God. I served, God. Look at me. And God says, yes, but that's not what bases of my love for you comes from. It comes from our confidence, our trust, our assurance of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross and the resurrection of his body. Can we all say amen to that? Okay? So, we looked at Abraham, and the Bible, the New Testament, keeps pointing to him. Look at this guy. He's the father of the faith. He is the originator. He's the guy you want to look at. And we looked at Father Abraham, and he had some great aspects of faith, and he really mucked it up a lot. So he sinned. He disobeyed God. He tried to take the promise into his own hands. He did stuff without even considering God. He told twice that his wife was his sister, which was technically correct, but it put her in a very compromising position. And again, I would love to hear those conversations at night between Abraham and Sarai. Yeah. But if you look at Abraham's life, that God made it clear in Scripture, God wanted to make sure that you and I throughout the ages would look to him as the father of the faith. Why Abraham? Why, when a guy who wasn't a stalwart always in faith, why him? And we looked at this and we're going to continue this. It was because Abraham consistently went back to trust. He constantly went back to trust. He learned from his sin. He learned from when he missed God. He learned it, and he kept coming back to trusting the promise, trusting the God of the promise. And dear ones, Abraham is just like you and I. We wrestle with our faith. We wonder at times. We're not sure. We kind of make decisions without even consulting him. We do all the things that Abraham did, but the key is, do we keep coming back to trust? Okay? That was last week. This week, we're going to see the story of Abraham from a different author, and his name is James. And when you read James and his account, using the same words that Paul used in Romans chapter 4, and using the same words that Hebrew writes about, James almost seems to say the exact opposite of what we learned last week. It's like, what is going on? Why do we have this conflict? And I've learned a secret. Whenever you read the scripture and it seems to conflict with each other, pause and look a lot right there, because you're going to find a lot of good stuff right there if you take the time to look. So we're going to take a few moments and we're going to look. Go with me to James chapter 2. If you have your notebook, your pen, your tablet, your phone, whatever way you read the Bible, Sanskrit, original Greek, however you choose to read the Bible. And I think we even have it up on a screen. But I would encourage you, bring your own way of reading so you can find it. You can go back there. So let's look at James chapter 2. We're going to read 10 verses. We won't go verse by verse, but we'll pull out verses and add to it. Verse 14, James says of chapter 2, "What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith and has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, 'Oh man, go, I wish you well, be blessed, but you keep warm, be well fed,' but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith, I have deeds.' James' response, 'Show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there's one God. Good.'" Now, this is really bizarre. This is really crazy. James says, "Even the demons believe that and shudder." It's almost like there's demonic faith. They believe in God, but I don't see them really going, "Let's just praise Jesus today," right? That's a strange statement, but it's really cool. Verse 20, "You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Here's our guy. Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, 'Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness.'" And James adds this phrase, "And he was called God's friend." Verse 24, "You see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone." We got conflict now. Righteousness by faith alone. Faith alone doesn't bring you justification. How do we deal with this? So, put on your ears. Let's listen. Let's lean in. I'm going to try to use some illustrations to describe and express it, maybe that we can get our head around this. But let's start this way. The writer of James and the writer Paul, it's a contrast between faith minus works and works minus faith, not between faith and works. We see that again. The contrast is faith minus works and works minus faith. It's not between faith and works. I can do a lot of great things. I can give money to the poor. I can help out people who are broken. I can do all these things, but not do it by faith in Jesus. And we see it all the time. Corporations, people give large sums of money to help the needy, but it's not done by faith in Christ. It's done outside of a relationship with Jesus Christ. So the author is talking, James, he's not saying you got works and faith. He's saying if what you do is not because of Jesus, it's not faith. If what you do is because of Jesus, that's faith. I'm doing it because of Jesus, not outside of Jesus. So the author says, we may say that Abraham was justified by faith. That's what Paul wrote. And that he trusted God and obeyed that God would give him a son. But James says he was also justified by faith. Why? Because he offered his son as a sacrifice. So Abraham's faith and his obedience were working together, and that's what made him righteous. I can say to you, and we can say to each other, I believe, I believe, I believe. We can sing it, I believe. But if there is no evidence to what you believe by the way in which you live, then James is saying, how good is what you believe really in your life? So one author says, faith alone justifies, but the faith which justifies is not alone. So let me example it this way. Deb and I, we have been married 38 years. She's 41, I'm 42. It was a child thing going on. No. Okay. What is the evidence of us being married? Is it a ring? Is it because we live in the same house? Is it because we signed some papers that the state required of us? Is it because she and I have the same children and grandchildren? Is the evidence of our marriage based upon external things like a ring? No. What's it based upon? Two people who are learning to love each other deeply, grow in intimacy, work through conflict, talk about life, share life experiences. It's two people who are learning to grow in love toward each other. That is the biblical evidence of a marriage. It's not because we have a ring. And just like us as Christians, what is the evidence that you and I have faith in Christ? Well, I go to church. Good. I give money. Good. I serve. Good. But people outside of Christ go to clubs. They go join the Lions Club. They do all these things. They can do all this stuff without faith. The evidence that you and I are followers of Jesus Christ is the internal work of grace that is evidenced by faith, hope, and love. And it is hard work. We don't work for God's approval. We work inside his grace already given to us, but we work to love each other, to love Christ, to love each other. It takes work for us to communicate. I can tell you after 38 years, we've had one fight in 38 years. And usually at this time, my wife goes, yes, baby. Which she says, yes, baby, means that's not the truth. It's like that pastor's wife voice you put on. It's like, yes, but yeah, that's my man of God up there. That's him. I get to be married to the preacher. Hallelujah. Ooh. I married a woman who's got strength. She has her own thoughts. Okay, all the ladies, be silent in the church. That's Bible. (Laughter) Well, man, I have heard more comments on that than in 15 years of being here. It's kind of like, hey, where's that amen at? Come on, man, where you at? Oh, yeah, you cowards. You guys are cowards. Jeff will say it because Jacqueline's gone, but man, you cowards. This is what James is trying to get to us, guys. Our relationship with God, there's got to be evidence to it. Or we really don't have a faith. We just have words. I go to church, I read the Bible, I give some money. Those are just words. Unless the faith moves you to obedience to God's word, the evidence. I had a guy tell me once, he says, Mike, if you are in the court of law, what evidence would they convict you that you're a Christian? And it has to be, as James is talking about. And here's our guy, though imperfect, Abraham, he continually trusted the Father. He continually trusted. How do we know he trusted? Because he obeyed. Imperfect as it was, he constantly obeyed because he trusted. So let me tell you the story of Abraham. Dean, I'll catch you in a second, buddy. Genesis chapter 12. Let me catch this real quick. Genesis chapter 12. Let's look at the story of Abraham with that in mind, with James' idea in mind. And let me rephrase the story. What I'm going to tell you is not correct, so I'm not rewriting the Bible, just to let you know. But let me tell you how many people read when they say, I believe in God, but there's no evidence of that. Over a period of time, there's no evidence. Let's read this. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. The Lord had said to Abram, leave your country. What did he say to do first? What's the first thing? Is do what? Or go from your country. Leave your country. Go. So there's movement. Go. Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. Here's the promise. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. So Abraham left. Verse 4. Now, let's change that verse. Let's change verse 4. Here's the promise that God gives Abraham. And then the Bible says this. So Abraham stayed with his father. God miraculously healed Sarai of her barrenness. They had a son, Isaac, and they all lived happily ever after. That's how often we want to see faith work. There's no effort on our part. There's nothing that we do. It's all God. Salvation is all God, but he's not looking for people who just mindlessly follow him. He's looking for people who are willing to follow and obey. Leave. So what would have happened if Abram stayed? We probably wouldn't hear about him. He wouldn't be the father of faith. He's a father of faith because God appears to him and he goes. He leaves. So Abraham left. So our actions, our works, our obedience is not to get God's approval because it's already ours. God cannot love you anymore today. He loves you with all he's got right now. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. Even if you don't feel it, if you don't see it, he loves you all that he has. That's what his word tells us. You are, if you believe, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Yes and amen. But then what is the evidence of that faith that you have in him? This is where James is bringing us to. And here's such a practical application. You see a brother or sister in our church, and they're in need. And though you have the means to do something, in verse 18, we just say, God bless you. Hope it works out. Instead of, hey, can I buy you something? Can I get you a tank full of gas? Can I pay your Avista bill? You know what thrills my heart? There's some things, I love doing this, but there are things that I love even more. Can I be honest with you? This is one of the things I love even more. When Jeff and I hear stories of need in our church and people took care of that need and we didn't even know it happened. Somebody tells us, hey, you know what, sister so-and-so, she had this problem, so we just took care of it. It was like, well, what? Isn't that cool? Isn't that what family does? If family hears a need, don't we do something about it? Why do we do this? Because we have faith in God. And God commands us to do acts of service to each other. The church is not this. Church is this. And so when you see a person, a brother or sister in need, and you do something, guess what? You are a person of faith, obeying Christ's commands to love each other deeply. It's a good thing. So what does Abraham do? He leaves. And God says, take off, and he does. And so what does Abraham do? He just starts walking through the land. We don't know how long. Could have been months. Could have been years. We don't know. He's walking through the land. And in verse 7, something happens. Read verse 7 with me, Genesis chapter 12. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. Because, here's a principle I think we need to lean into. Because Abraham was willing to leave, because Abraham was willing to obey, God was able to expand his revelation of what he was doing in his life. So here's Abraham. He's walking, 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 and then God appears to him and says, this is the land. This is what I promised you. This is it. So dear ones, lean into me with this a little bit. Lean in. If you hear shame, condemnation, that's not the tone of my voice. It's not what I'm trying to say here. If you're wondering what God has for your life, obey the last thing he told you. Just obey. Just do the last thing he told you. So if that means forgive that person that offended you, well, we start getting Pentecostal. You know, lean into it. I love Francis Chan here. I love this. He tells this illustration. He says, let's say I tell my daughter, clean your room. Okay? And his daughter goes, okay, I'll clean my room. And so she goes into her bedroom for a number of hours, and she comes back out, and he asks her, did you clean your room? And she says, well, no, but I did do a word study on clean, and I wanted to find what the original Greek is for the word clean. And then after that, I called my friends, and we did a prayer meeting on cleaning the room. And we declared the cleaning, and we proclaimed the cleaning, and we just said, God, we pray for cleaning to take place in your name. Yeah, but did you clean the room? Now, I don't know about y'all, but I've hidden behind prayer before. I've hidden behind prayer. Where God told me to do something, it's right here. It wasn't a voice, it was just in his word. And you need to do this. And I go, oh, Lord, is that you, Lord, really? Are you sure? It sounds kind of like the devil to me, Lord, right now. Oh, God, please give me a sign from heaven. A fleece. Let every light turn green on my way to work. Then I will know it's you, Lord. Come on, guys. His word is like, okay, you need to forgive that person. You don't have to pray about that. You don't have to pray. God, what is your will? Forgive them. I need to forgive. We work through what that looks like. We don't know what's going to end, but the process is I've got to forgive. Why? Because my Jesus, who I say I believe in, tells me, and the evidence of my belief in him is that I'm going to obey him. And I fully believe we know a lot more, at least I do. I know a lot more than I actually believe. I mean, actually put into practice. Come on. Somebody help me here. Somebody. Am I the only one? Someone text right now and say, Richardson, you're not the only one. I think if we want to pray about something, just pray, God, give me the courage to obey. It frightens me a little bit. I'm not sure what's going to lead, but so give me courage to obey. So Abraham went, and this beautiful partnership took place. And Abraham didn't know the whole story, but he got more of the story. And here's the thing I've known about God. If God were to tell you the whole story of your life, you would end up in a fetal position. He is so wise not to tell us everything, but like a scroll, he unfolds it, and as we trust him and we obey, then he can unfold more, and as we trust him, and it's not a pattern, it's just a relationship of, I can trust you with more because I know that you trust me more. 22-year-old Mike, who was going into the ministry, who was all like, oh, man, we're going to take the world for Jesus. We're going to kick the devil's butt, and we're going after it, man. We're going to rock for Jesus for the world. 58-year-old Mike goes, oh, that was adorable. But if 22-year-old Mike would have faced something that 58-year-old Mike had to face, he would have quit a long time ago. And God in his wisdom doesn't allow 22-year-old Mike to go through 58-year-old Mike's stuff. And if you do, God is not trying to destroy your faith. He knows that you can handle it. Let me close with this. Go to John chapter 11. I love John. I love the book of John. He's like my, I don't know if you can have favorites. You know, it's not like I follow Paul, I follow Peter, I follow John. I like them all, but John is the guy he speaks my language. Hebrews 11 says that Abraham obeyed even though he didn't fully understand. That's my hang up. I want to know, where does it end? I kind of know what's the conclusion of this. But to say I'll forgive even if I don't know what's going to happen. Like Jeff said, we're going to give even though I don't know what's going to take place. It's God is teaching us to trust him, but it's through our obedience that we learn that he's trustworthy. And there's a woman in John, there's a family actually, John 11. It's, how many remember the story of Lazarus? How many remember Carmen? Lazarus. Lazarus, come forth. You know, and he always did those, you know, stuff. He always did those, you know, the champion, dun, dun, dun. I mean, he did, oh, for those of you, you need to Google that or YouTube it. It's great. It was the coolest thing when I was a kid. It was the closest thing we had to MTV. Christian MTV was Carmen. You know, you couldn't wait out till his album came out because it's going to be some cool thing, you know. Yeah, the champion. I don't know how I got there, but I'm here. Okay, so this is one of the greatest stories about a woman who had really a lot of faith in Jesus, but she came to a point where she didn't understand Jesus, and she's a little bit lost. So in John 11... the Bible says that Lazarus was loved by Jesus. So Jesus had people that he loved deeply. He loved everybody, but he had special people in his life. Okay? Just like you and I. We love each other, but there's people who are closer to us. Jesus had it with Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. So Martha and Mary, they pray. Jesus, the one you love is sick. That's the prayer. Jesus, the one you love is sick. And Jesus intentionally doesn't answer the prayer. Intentionally, he stays away. Wow. Seems kind of rude. And Lazarus, guess what happens to Lazarus? He dies. Okay? So Jesus says, okay, now let's go see him. Because Lazarus has fallen asleep and I need to go wake him up. And the disciples, I love the disciples because we hear one plane and Jesus is talking over here. Right? So the disciples go, well, if he sleeps, he'll get better. And Jesus goes, okay, let me just tell you what's going on. Lazarus is dead. Oh, dead, is he? Okay, now we're getting it. No, they're not. And Jesus says these words. He goes, and I am glad for your sake that I wasn't there so that you may believe. How do we deal with those situations where God doesn't answer in a way or a time in which we want? Can I just tell you something? If you continue to lean into trust, there are things you will know about God that others won't. Not dealing with your salvation. God loves you. This is dealing with the intimacy of relationship. So they get there. Let's pick it up. Verse 17. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. The Jews believed in 3 days their bodies can still come back. 4 days, they stink too much. Their body's decaying. It's over, okay? So he waited, and now there is no hope for Martha and Mary. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them. What a beautiful thing, in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, what did she do? Read it out loud, would you? She, see the action, see the movement, see how she actually did something. She doesn't understand what's going on, but she still goes out to meet him. But Mary stayed at home. Either two reasons. One, she's taking the people from Jerusalem came, she's hosting them. Or two, which I think, she's a little bit ticked at Jesus. Where you at? Come on, brother, you love him, you love us, we know it's true. How come you didn't answer our prayer? What's happening? And she did not go meet Jesus. Now look at this dialogue. Look at, it's brilliant, it's beautiful, it's fantastic. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. What a statement of faith. If you had been here, you would have healed him. What a great statement of faith. Verse 22, look at her, expand her faith just a little bit. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Wow. And so when Jesus reveals something to her, she had this faith that was about here, but what Jesus was going to show her was about here. And she couldn't, her faith couldn't contain it until Lazarus rises from the dead. Look at this story. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Now we know the end of the story. It's going to happen in just a moment. Martha thinks, look what she thinks. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection on that last day. Great theology. Nailed it. Theologically, right on spot. But here's the issue. Jesus is trying to show her that the resurrection is not an event. It's a person. It's not a time. It's him. But she can't see it yet. Does she have faith in God? Absolutely she does. But now she's in a place where her faith isn't able to get its head around what Jesus is saying. I think this is pretty good. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who, here's our word, believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Now, wait a sec. Lazarus believed in Jesus and he's dead. How in the heck does this work? He believed in him and he's dead. Many things of God's word, we look at it from a perspective of our experience, our upbringing, our education, our church life, and Jesus constantly wants to expand our understanding, our belief in him. So when you come to a point where you don't understand what he's saying and what's going on in your life, that's at that point where God's going to show you more of who he is as you stay in relationship with him. I have been so frustrated with God sometimes. Anybody else? Dean, okay, I got a couple. Okay, I won't comment on that. More spiritual than I am. Look at her response. Yes, Lord. So here's the question. Do you believe I'm the resurrection and the life? That's the question. Here's the answer. Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who came into the world. Do you believe I'm the resurrection and the life? I believe you're the Son of God. Do you believe if you're dead, he'll live because of me? I believe you're the Christ who came into the world. They're not synonymous. Her faith was not able to make the leap to what Jesus was trying to show her. So she said to him what she believed. Martha doesn't get it, but she still believes. So what does Jesus do? Walks up to the tomb. I love when someone said this. If he would have said, rise up, all the dead people would have rose. So he has to be very specific. Why? He's the resurrection and the life. So he walks into a grave ride and goes, get up. Talk about freak out. Right? That would have been like, what? You know, put that on, you know, social media. Look at that. I don't know. I saw a unicorn and I saw the grave take off. I mean, it would be great. So anyways, so he comes to Martha and he says, roll away the stone. The stone covered the cave where he was buried. And Martha goes, very practical, but Lord, I love the King James. He stinketh. I love the King James right there. It's awesome. Brother, you need to take a bath. Why? Because you stinketh. It's awesome. It's biblical. So NIV goes, there's an odor. Okay. He stinketh really works for me, okay? And Jesus said, didn't I tell you if you believe? She still didn't get it, but she obeyed. And she had the stone rolled away. And she got to experience, not just theologically, the resurrection and the life of Jesus Christ. Lazarus. I hear Carmen again, Lazarus, come forth. It's beautiful. And here comes Lazarus. Wouldn't that have been cool? If you believe, you will see. That's the principle. If you believe, you will see. But it's not having faith in faith. It's having faith in a person. He's the resurrection and the life. It's not just an event. He's the healer. It's not just being healed. Jeff just did a great job of transitioning us. We believe something even if we don't see it. That's either called faith or stupid. We know it as faith. So what do? We act on what we believe even though we don't understand it, even though we haven't seen it, we still act because we believe in the one who said it, Jesus. This is what I wrestle with. I'm being honest with you guys. I'm wrestling with this. I want to understand, where is this going if I do this? What's the end result if I do this? And after 58 years, I think I'd figure out, but I still have this bent in me like, okay, if I obey you, God, then I'm expecting good stuff to happen, right? Because I obeyed. Oh, what the heck? I obeyed and I got hammered. What's going on here? I did it, God. I still wrestle with this sense because it was my upbringing. If you do what's right, everything will work out right. If you obey, everything will be great. And when I first got my obedience and got slapped down, God and I had to have a long talk because he was screwing up the formula. I believe, so I do. I believe, so there's evidence. I can say all day long, I'm an apple tree. I believe it. I believe I'm an apple tree. Where's the apples? I don't know, but I believe it. There's got to be evidence to what we believe. And it's here. That's lived here. Do you know how hard it is to love you guys? Do you know how hard it is to love me? You know what? It's not easy. What? Okay, my wife is whispering something to me. Shh, just a sec. What? Oh, wow. When I asked the question how hard it is to love me, my wife said, and I said, I am hard to love. My wife responded with an affirmative. It's okay. I need a hug. Jeff. The Lord knows how to grow your faith. Our response is obedience. We say yes. We lean into it. That's the evidence that our faith is genuine. It's because we're saying yes to how he tells us to live. Imperfect as it is, we are still leaning into trust. Don't know how it's going to end. We still lean into trust. Not sure what's going to happen. We still lean into trust because he's trustworthy. And what was supposed to take place over the years, for Abraham, it was 25 years, that God said something that was outside his nature. Kill your son on an altar. Sacrifice him with a knife and take his life. What kind of God asked that kind of stuff? That's weird. Anybody think that's weird? Even the request. What does Abraham do? The next morning, he got up. He got all the wood for the fire. He had a fire they could carry. He got his son, and they walked the 3 days to Mount Moriah. And when they got there, what did he do? He was about to sacrifice his own son. And God says, I know where we're at. There's the ram in the thicket. And it was credited to him as righteousness. If God would have asked him to sacrifice his son in Genesis 15 when he had the boy, he wouldn't have done it. But after 25 years of walking with this God, knowing his nature, knowing his character, in fact, Hebrews says this, he reckoned or reasoned that God would raise his son from the dead, even though Abraham had never seen anybody raised from the dead, because he knew the character and nature of God, and he trusted it. And gang, this is what we're going after. We're going after, hey, you are saved by faith and grace and God's love. Yay! But what is the evidence of that? It's the works we do by serving each other, helping each other, forgiving each other, sharing life with each other, bearing each other's burdens, laughing with each other, having a meal with each other. It's this, our faith has to be lived out with each other. Okay, 38 minutes, not bad. Gwen, 38 minutes, not bad. Here's what I ask. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. What's that?
There's 45 more minutes to go.
What are you talking about? It's almost noon. And notice I haven't said anything about the 49ers. Oh, wow. Listen, okay. Division just took place in the house of the Lord. After all, oh, we love each other. We like each other. We serve each other. Cheat, loser. Ah! Okay, I got it. I see how we work. I get it. I get it. Okay, okay, okay. I know how I'll pray for you. Okay, okay. If you're married, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. That's an evidence of your faith. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. It's unto the Lord. That's an expression of your faith. No man's going to tell me what to do. So stupid. Woman, go and do. That's so stupid. It's stupid. Stupid. Come on. Hello. Think. We are shown throughout Scripture time and time again that as followers of Christ, this is what it looks like. Hey, man, should I pray? I have this impression. Should I pray for this person? Well, no, let's call Jeff. Jeff's got, no. You shall lay your hands on them and they get better. You shall. You don't have to pray about it. You don't have to go, oh, I wonder if that's the Lord speaking to me. Do you think the enemy would say, oh, pray for their healing? What if nothing happens? That's very possible. But I have found just the care and compassion to notice and say, I care enough to stop and say, I want to just bless you. People are just overwhelmed by that. Let me keep my mask on and bless you. Physical touch, just a God bless you. Cup of cold water in his name. There's all these things that he says. I'll give you hundreds of examples of what you can do as my followers to show, to evidence your trust in me. Stand with me. I love the sound when people stand after sitting for a while. Older people have this sound. Yeah. Ugh. See this kind of a, there it is. There's the stretch. Yeah. Saved by grace through faith. That's what we're saved by. But if there's say, it's not just words we say, it's evidenced by our life. Do you know who the most important person I preach to in this room? The number one person is that woman right there. Because if she doesn't, if she's up there, if she's going, he's lying about everything he says, then there is no value to what I'm telling you. She's the one that has to be able to say, yeah, he's hard to live with, but I love him. That's the person that knows me better than anybody else in this auditorium. And if she doesn't think I'm real, I'm not real. And I could pretend and fake it and say all the right words, cry at the right time, do all the right stuff. I can make all the hallelujahs and glory to God and yes and amen. I can do all that stuff. But if she knows me, and dear ones, that's we are supposed to know each other, the authenticity of our walk with Christ, because it's real amongst us. So how many will commit, even though you don't know where it's going to lead or what God's going to do? How many will commit to obedience to Christ? I'm going to learn how to love the person in this room who I don't even know. I'm going to learn how to do that. If you don't have your hands raised, no, I'm not going to say it. You are, right? Right? We're going to learn how to live out this faith, hope, and love. It starts here. We commit ourselves to that, Lord. So, Lord, we make covenant with you. It's by faith that we learn to love and to hope. It's because of love we have faith and hope. And because of hope, it stems from faith and love. Galatians 5 says, all that matters is faith expressing itself through love. And Lord, love isn't just like ooey-gooey, we all get along, we all like each other. Love means we are willing to navigate the hard stuff because of love. We're willing to have the hard conversations and stay in fellowship and relationship because we have faith that you're doing something in the midst of that, and we hope for a better outcome. Lord, thank you that you've put together what is now known Echo Hills Church. And when Jeff and I said yes to this, and the original member said yes, we had no idea where it was going to lead. We had no clue. We didn't have COVID on our 2020 calendar. But we continue to trust you on the journey, and you're continually leading us because we trust. And we're willing to continue to say yes to following you. And the fruit and the evidence of that will be greater love and greater hope and greater faith. And so thank you, Lord. It's not just words, but it's actions and in deeds. As John says, don't love with words alone, but in actions and in deed. We choose to be those kind of people. In Jesus' name. Would you agree by saying yes and amen?
Yes, amen.
Amen.